Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
All right, here we go. Welcome to episode number 34 of RC Hangar Time.
Woo-hoo!
This week looks like we got TJ with us.
What's up, Al?
Got Dwayne with us.
What's up?
Hey, Dwayne.
And John Bard.
What's going on, guys?
And myself, if you haven't noticed.
Hi, Mike.
I'm here. Hi.
Hey. Hi, Mike.
Skippy, freaking Skippy. Yay. Oh.
Don't sound so excited.
Yeah. I was doing my Wade impersonation.
Nice. So what have you guys been up to this week? Who wants to start us off?
Oh, Dwayne, start us off. Let's hear. How was your week, Dwayne? What did you do this week?
Well, let's see. I've discovered cold fusion. I'm going to be presenting that to the world. We're all going to have free power. We're going to be operating our planes, cars, boats, models, everything off of it. I'm working on the cure for cancer. That's coming along a little tougher than I thought. And I hate you, TJ. Anyway, in all actuality, I got my Bearcat 2.0. I spent hour upon hour painting it, mixing colors perfectly. Cobalt blue, dark blue, real blue, some black. Came out with the perfect Navy Marine Corps scheme of the dark blue. Looked wonderful. Kept the weight down this time. Remounted stuff up inside closer to the CG and didn't have to add tail weight. And I go to fly it yesterday. For some reason, I had to keep the one aileron about 3 degrees down farther than the other just to keep it flying straight. No big deal. Okay, it might have been a warp or kink in the wing or whatever. That's fine. So I go to fly it today, and it goes up, and it's flying. There's a little breeze. It's going good. And I go to circle back around over my field, and it just keeps going straight, going higher. And then all of a sudden, the wind catches it. It flips over and just comes straight in, doesn't turn, twist, nothing. Just nosedives straight in from about 300 feet into a parking lot. Missed the parked college transportation vans by 5 feet. I had a little 1,300 kV motor on there, but it's one of the ones that are about like a half inch deep from front to back and about an inch in diameter. And I actually shoved the casing of that about a quarter inch into the windings, smashed the nose all up. Okay, I fixed it. I got fixed it. I was able to get to fly again. I take it out and next thing I know, I lose elevator control, and then all of a sudden, after that, I lose aileron control, and it just goes right into the ground again, full speed, not able to cut the throttle back. So after careful deduction, and the National Transportation TJ Association came out there, and we discussed it. We believe it may be, yeah, the TJB. We figure it may be a faulty ESC because I had replaced. I use two different receivers. Yes, I do have my Orange RX, but I use that transmitter with two different receivers on other planes in the past. And even in particular, the receiver that I'd used on that plane, I used it on another plane. It worked fine. I replaced batteries because I thought the first Bearcat that wrecked was a battery issue causing a brownout, low voltage or voltage spike. That wasn't the issue because I had new batteries. The only thing that kept the original plane was the ESC and the motor. And the motor, or the ESC wires are very small gauge. It's only a 10-amp ESC. And I did notice there was no hole in the casing or anything. But the ESC itself, the wires are like kind of kinked. So I'm thinking that it kind of shorted that way, like TJ was saying. And it just kind of...
Something inside. Now, where did you get the ESC from?
It was out of an airfield. No. I apologize. This one was actually out of a Hobby King AT-6 Texan that they had. And prior to the wire, because the way I had to mount it in the first Bearcat, you had to cut the nose foam out and then pull, really bend tight the ESC wires just so it would fit inside the foam. And I think that's where I kinked the wires inside and they broke. So prior to this incident, it had been in other planes and it worked fine. And just on the bench, it worked. I just think it was just by the wires having to be pinched so tight inside the nose of that little EPP foam that it just damaged them internally.
All right. Well, bear with me here. So you got the ESC from Hobby King. Where'd you get the receiver from?
Shut up. I see where you're going with this.
No. Follow with me here. Follow with
Hobby
me here.
King.
Where did you get the plane?
ERC, it's a hacker plane.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, so we'll take that out of the equation. Where did you get the motor from?
Hobby King came out of the same AT-6 Texan.
Where did you get the battery from?
Value Hobby.
G-Force.
What about the transmitter?
Shut up.
What about the pilot?
I didn't come from Hobby King. I can tell you that. Although my mother pretended to be a saint, but I don't know. She might have been in Hong Kong at some time. I don't know. But the major components that could be the major fault of this
all came from.
Well, this receiver came from Value Hobby. It was a different brand receiver.
But the first one.
That was a Hobby King, but it did the same thing, identical thing that it did the first time. So that's why I'm pretty sure it wasn't transmitter or receiver related.
I'm just messing with you.
I know you are. But I hate you, TJ. Did I mention that one to you? Did I tell you I hate you?
You may
have. Wayne, I'll stand on your boat with you. I use a lot of Hobby King stuff, too.
We're on a boat!
don't go into it.
I'm not singing, I just said we're on a boat.
I did not sing it.
So, is that about it for you this week?
Yeah, I did my racing last week. Let me just give you a racing update. For my fourth race ever, I finished fourth out of 10 people. I mean, even the guy from the place is like, man, if you came out more. And actually, I finished the race one lap to go in the main with a popped-off broken turnbuckle, and I finished a whole lap going around the track, and I was keeping straight. I mean, either I'm that sucky of a driver that I don't know any better, or the car thinks I'm that good of a driver that I can drive with only three wheels. It's a pretty technical track. And my son goes, he's playing a corner marshal, and he goes to pick it up, and they're sitting there trying to fix it. I'm like, and you hear me on the video, put it down, drop it. And I go finish another complete lap and still finish fourth and actually pass somebody in the back straightaway with only three wheels.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I kind of got run over by a buggy and my foot's been messed up, and we've had cold front come through with wind, so that was the only flying I did was yesterday. Today was with the Bearcat.
Nice.
How about you, Michael?
I actually had a fun fly this weekend on Saturday.
I'm very happy for it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Had a good time. It was at a different field. It was at our north field, and I was pretty much the only guy out there flying helis, but there's a bunch of new guys out there, and they were fairly impressed. They had no idea. So got a lot of compliments on my flying, which felt good. Stroked my ego a little bit, you know.
Taking it to the hole.
Yeah.
But the plankers were just being nice to you.
Yeah.
TikTok pirouette, yo. Watch that. Take that, yo. Slam dunk. Oh, wait.
But question. How many of you guys, honestly, at your airfields where you fly, the actual airfields, you know, AMA airfields, are the heli pilots like the redheaded stepchildren? I apologize to any redheads who have heard that. Seriously, I mean, they give you a little 18x18 paver over on the one corner and say, there's your launch site, just keep it over there.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
Yeah, I think most fields are like that. They kind of keep them to the side. And because we really, even on our club, we only have a few real heli pilots that do anything with their helis, and but there are times
I'm gonna get flack for this. If it were up to me, I just load all the heli pilots up on cattle cars. That's all I'm gonna say.
Anyways,
just take them to a field somewhere far away from all the plane pilots, from the real pilots.
No, but I've seen a few times where the guys come out with their bigger helis. We actually give them the runway and give them the sky for a little bit while everybody's changing out batteries or refueling or doing things like that. It's usually when you see them. But most of our heli pilots also fly planks as well. So
right.
They're multi-talented.
That's why I like our field, the UHA, Utah Helicopter Association. It's part of another field, and it's, you know, they have a runway. It's paved runway for the airplane guys. And they fly out, let's see, so they're facing east, and or no, they're facing west and they're flying north and south. And the helifield is actually kind of kitty corner to that. And it's about the same size, and we're flying east and west, and we're facing north. So it works out pretty well. Every now and then, though, we have to go over there and yell at the airplane guys because they'll fly over our heads and fly into our field thinking, you know, that they can fly anywhere they want.
Now, can I join that, being that I don't own any helicopters?
No.
See, that? Oh, you know, I'm suing. See, there's a lawsuit there's right stops. There. Oh, yeah, I'm going to sue. If a girl could sue to play football, I'm suing to join the heli country club or whatever it is.
Well, UHA, yes. Country club. It's free to join. You just have to show up. So if you want to drive all the way to Utah
it won't
without
be free
a helicopter.
After I get my $500 million discrimination lawsuit, it ain't going to be free for none of you blender boys.
I think the umbrella policy stops somewhere at around $2,000. So.
Yeah, it doesn't extend very far. So. Hey, John, so how was your week?
Yes.
My week was fantastic.
Real quick. John, not to cut you off real quick. Last, I forgot to add to my thing. I built my EDF Rafael. Finally got foam safe glue is not Tech One foam safe glue. That's all I got to say on that one. Sorry, Jonathan. That was my rant for the day. It ate through the foam quicker than Pac-Man eating them ghosts and little dots, man.
Dude.
Okay. No, as far as my week was fantastic. I did nothing of consequence. We were on vacation all week, went down to the Outer Banks, North Carolina, and I was right there at, Nag's Head, where Jockey Hill is, and that's where, or Jockey Ridge, or whatever it's called, that's where the Wright brothers actually launched the, you know, the first flight. And so that was really wild seeing all that. But they drove 1,600 miles this past week, so I'm done with that.
I would have wore a shirt with, like, big pieces of fabric between my wrists and my ankles and just start running down where the Wright brothers flew and try to start flapping my arms.
What blows your mind is, though, you go up there and you see this place. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, and you're looking at this hill, and you're like, okay, it's a little sand hill. It's not enormous like you would think it would be. And, yeah, there's some good wind there. Wasn't anything amazing. But you're thinking, how do two bicycle shop boys clean out in Ohio know about this little tiny ridge out in the middle of nowhere, out beyond the mainland of North Carolina, and that's where they want to take their plane to fly it?
Aliens.
Aliens. That's what it is. I didn't even think of that. Thank you, Dwayne.
I told them that. You're
welcome. Thank you.
I'd have been screaming the whole time running with that little flight suit. I'd have been singing I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly. That's what I would have done.
And we'll get you one of those little propeller hats.
Yes.
So, what have you been up to, TJ? I hear that you got a new toy.
I've not been doing anything this week. no, I will admit, I did it. I did. I broke down and
got the real doll.
Got the what?
The real doll. Remember, I posted in there the real doll. What's in the box? What's in the box?
No, that's not doll. What I purchased. I actually had
real doll.
It got me a little Blade MCPX.
Welcome to the club.
And did you buy it from Thumper?
No, actually, no. I got this one from Horizon Hobby, so it came all in one piece.
Did you get the brushless?
No, I didn't. I couldn't pass up on the version 2. It was on clearance at $89, and you know, bind and fly. And I'm glad I did because now they're all sold out.
You can't beat that.
You can't. $89 for this little bitty thing, and I'll tell you what. I've had nothing but a blast flying this. So, Mike, I will admit, they're very, very deceiving. But I want to put it out right here, right now. Mike, I will not tease you anymore about being a heli pilot. It's because this thing is just too much fun.
Right?
I am not giving up on my planks. I love my planks. I love my EDFs. No, I'm not trading.
The planks have given up on you.
I will have to say this last week, every time I went out through the garage, my planes were staring at me. I think they were absolutely jealous because I was walking by with my little heli in hand.
I just got a live feed email from the National Planker Association. You have been disbarred.
I've been disbarred. I'm sure maybe in a year I can reapply. They'll let me back in. But I got several flights last week. For life, it's a lifetime ban.
Yes.
You know what? Dang it, fine. I'm selling all my planes and I'm buying a 450.
You and Pete Rose, banned for life.
But, Dwayne, you got to try one of these out, man. It's such a fun challenge.
I hit my house. Did you not hear about that story? I hit my house. I'm done with them.
I have an MSR, but after finding out that thing really is not a heli. This thing is cool, but the first set of blades, the ones that come with, I'll admit they are no longer black and white print.
They're green.
Yep. It's not green from the grass either. I took out quite a few leaves. It does a great job weed whacking. But the thing's fun, and I already broke it. I broke it yesterday.
What did you break? The landing gear?
The boom, tail boom.
The boom.
But did some research, and Mike, of little help that he was, did help me figure out how to fix it, and did it all my own and extended it, so it shouldn't have a big problem with washout. I'll tell you what, things blast. I'm addicted.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I am addicted. This thing is...
That was good.
Just like crack dealers. And crack dealers aren't good. They give you the free sample. Oh, this is fun. This is fun. Next thing you know, $100,000. Then you having a deadly accident. Oh, I'm telling you, you watch and see.
But this is the good crack, Dwayne. The good crack.
I don't know.
Some big hairy Polish guy standing on the... Well, never.
I don't know how much of a good crack this is, John, because... Mike, what's been my biggest complaint about helicopters from the beginning that you've known me? Why have I not flown helicopters? Because I think they're too much what? They're too expensive.
Exactly.
And I'm wanting
$89, man. You can buy two of them.
I know. That's why I couldn't pass it up on this. Just to try it. It's collected pitch. It does a lot of fun. It's supposed to go inverted, which I did. My wife can attest to it. She stood there and watched me as I got it inverted. And then
collective into the ground.
I actually collected it right up into a tree.
Oh wow, good deal. At least you didn't give it positive.
I tell you what, that's one of the hardest things that I've had struggling with on the simulator too. Is everything reverses?
Yep.
I mean, worse than an airplane. Except for the ailerons. But it's easy to figure out with a plane. When you go inverted, I mean, that's simple. It's slow, well, not necessarily slow, but it's easy to watch what you're doing. Man, when that thing goes upside down with the heli, whoo, that's nuts.
Yep, you got to be on your toes.
Yes, you do, and I'm not really all that quick, so I got a feeling I'm replacing a lot of tail booms.
It's awesome that you got a heli. I'm glad.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was just saying that it's awesome that you finally got a heli and that you're enjoying it. You sound like you've been having a lot of fun with it.
I have been having a lot of fun with it. I know I've been lighting your phone with texts and questions about this, that, and the other. So there'll be many, many more, I'm sure.
It's all right. I know the MCPX pretty well, so.
Yeah.
Usually it's only a quick, 2-second fix, like the few issues that you did have.
Oh, yeah. Everything's been pretty quick on it so far. But
spun.
Oh, I hate those things. They pop off all the freaking time. And the battery.
But it doesn't break anything.
No, they haven't broke yet. Like I said, the only thing I snapped the tail boom right in half. Right in the middle. Mm. But it was easy to separate the wires out of because it was actually split all the way down. And when I went to...
Nice.
When I slid it out of the back of the main frame, it just fell apart. So it was real easy to put a solid carbon rod in there. But that's all the flying I've done this week. But yesterday, went out to Air Supremacy over Elkhart. It's a big, IMAA giant scale fly-in, AMA sanctioned. And these were some beautiful warbirds from all eras, from World War I all the way up to modern jets. And just some of the detail on these planes. A lot of them are like planes like, I would fly. Looks like the plane, but there's not a lot into it. Not a lot of detail. But then some of these planes, you think these guys go to Jetmasters or to Top Gun and things like that. There's one guy had an A-10. I put some pictures on our Facebook page. It was just immaculate.
Nice.
Oh.
Sounds good.
But that was my week.
Cool.
Sounds good. Should we get on to some news?
It's time for news.
Sure.
News.
All right.
Yes.
So this week, it's been a pretty slow week. We don't have much news, but we do have a survey that TJ wanted to read us. So
yes, I have a survey from 2 weeks ago because Mike blew it off after he wanted this survey, beat me for this survey. said, give me a survey, dang it. And then he blew it off. I can't believe it.
That's how I roll.
I'm finding that out quickly. But I'm just going to breeze through this because I know there's a lot of in-depth answers to these because it was a lot of fill-in-the-blank kind of thing. But I want to go over it. If everyone remembers a couple of weeks ago, it was a survey about helis. It's all about blenders, whirly gigs, weed whackers, whatever you want to call them.
And how can you force a person to answer a question who knows nothing about helicopters or owns one? How can they pick their favorite brand? That's all I want to know.
Well, Hail Mary.
Dwayne, it goes like this. The survey says it's all about blenders, whirly gigs, weed whackers, or helicopters, whatever you want to call them. I think that right there would be your first clue to go ahead and skip.
Well, I could have put up there, I hate helicopters, I don't want to take any more surveys about it, but that wasn't an option to take. That answer wasn't up there.
So, it's not about helicopters, though. That's a personal opinion. You know what they say about opinions, right?
Everybody's got one.
Anyways, the first question
is... How do you
know
I didn't have a surgery as a child that removed mine? How do you know that?
That's true.
You would be that guy.
All right, let's hear this survey, TJ.
That's so full of shit now.
Anyways, this first question, like I said, it's basically what type of helis do you like to fly? You had micro, electric, nitros, gas. Well, see, actually, Dwayne, you were wrong. The very first, and I forgot this on my own survey, but the last answer on that first question is, I don't fly helis. I'm a proud planker.
Right, but the second question, though.
Oh, good Lord. You can't make everybody happy, huh?
No.
And actually, 10 people. 27% actually answered that question. I'm a proud planker. So, but majority fly electric, 63%. A good majority fly micro. A few nitro and a couple of gassers out there, but nobody flew turbines. We don't have any turbine heli pilots out there.
10% with functioning brains.
Question two is basically asking about what brand you prefer to fly. There's Blade, Align, Gowie, SAB, Walkera. Amazingly, nobody flew Walkera. Of course, I don't know Walkera. I just when I filled out this survey or created this survey, I didn't have any knowledge of helis at that time. It was before I purchased my MCPX, so I was just throwing names down there. Who makes Walkera?
Walkera. Nobody admits to flying Walkeras. That's
they're nitro planes.
Are they
brand.
That
they're,
bad?
They're
oh yeah, planes. Their head's in the right place. Unfortunately, their pull off is terrible.
Oh, gotcha. So, but. Looks like a lot of the people fly Blade. The majority of the people, though, flew other brands. Some of these I'm not familiar with, Mike, so you might have to enlighten us. But Taro, is that right? Taro?
Taro, yeah. That's,
I thought those were those gypsy cards, the fortune tellers.
No, they're like a that clone too. Of the line, the T-Rex.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll be getting your death card from the International Planker Association, by the way.
EXI?
Yes.
Knockoff,
okay.
Too.
Yep.
Helimax, I've seen those in the magazines. I like this one. The cheap coaxial ones from department stores.
Right.
I didn't know SIG has helis. They must be an airplane.
And SIG?
Then, okay. It says SIG. I guess they were a planker and just wanted to put it in there.
Oh, okay. Dwayne.
No.
All right.
And then somebody flies a tickly monkey butt.
Hmm.
It's the best kind.
I wonder who put that one up there.
I wonder. Anyways, the next question was asking about size because I'm still not really familiar with size. 400s, 450s.
Your wife says the same thing.
600s, 700s. And then, I tell you, usually helis are called 70s or 90s. You're talking like nitros, right, Mike?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And because the electrics, they're trying to go with the ballpark range of the blade, the main rotor diameter?
Yeah.
Okay.
500 and up.
500 and up?
Yeah.
So a 450 is not really 400.
No, they're 325 millimeter blades. Yeah.
Then how do they come off calling them 400 or 450s?
Don't ask.
Who knows? They just make up numbers.
You know what? We're gonna make that. We're gonna make that an episode all on its own. We're gonna find out the answer to that. That's crazy. A lot of people fly micros. Looks like 450s and 500s are the most common size. All right. Question number four is: what style of flying do you prefer to attempt? Because I say attempt because if you really could, you'd be out flying on and competing right now. Not taking a silly survey, so how bad you want to be like Dan Reed? See, that's what the survey would have been great for last week. Thanks, Mike.
I know.
Anyways, we have 30% our beginner training heli pilot wannabes. We've got 35% or 11 people that do 3D. 16% flight to fly scale, like Ken Soloy does, or is it because they're also too old to fly 3D, like Ken Soloy is? And then you've got actually 20% say they don't; they're just too smart. They fly planes.
And, that was a good question. That was a very good question.
Question five: I was basically asking about the different types of fly barless units. Do you fly? What type do you like? 20% are like Beast X. Nobody flies Skookum. Mike, don't you fly Skookum?
I do. I selected the icon though.
What?
I do fly Skookum.
You fly Skookum? Then why didn't you put it? That's not your preferred.
It wasn't
brand.
A multiple. No.
Blender Boy does not like Skookum fly barless units.
I do like Skookum. I do. I really like the Skookum on my Goblin. But if I had to buy one again, I would definitely choose the Icon.
Okay. One person likes 3G. Yeah.
3G like the older line 3G?
3GX probably.
3GX. I said, I made this survey. I didn't know crap about helis, and I still don't.
Hey,
know
you
crap
did
about
a good
helis.
Job. You did a good
Thank
job.
Thank you. I appreciate. It. See, somebody actually appreciates it. Thanks, John. I never get that from Mike.
Positive reinforcement.
And the last question, real quick, the last question. I thought you would like this. Do you think Dwayne the Honey Badger could actually fly a heli if it was actually made out of EPP?
No.
Any guesses, Dwayne? Guess?
No.
No.
No. Giving you the silent treatment, haven't you noticed?
21% said yes. They think you could.
Thank you, fans. Thank you, people.
But a resounding 79 said no. He can't even fly planes made out of EPP. Just ask to see his BF-109. I know you're a heli pilot and have no clue what a BF-109 is, but trust me, just ask.
That's great.
Just in case you didn't get the email, the note, the message, the wire transfer, the smoke signal, I hate you, TJ.
Oh, I see that here.
Those are terms of endearment right there.
That's awesome. So is that it for the survey?
That's it for the survey. I can't think of any other news. It's been kind of a slow week.
Yeah.
Oh, can I thank you so much for the great job you did on the survey, TJ?
Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate it. I try hard on these surveys. Oh, John. Awesome.
Don't know how old this is, but I just happened to notice it. I might be slow. On HeliDirect's website, for anybody who has purchased and crashed a PF brand canopy, and they purchased it from HeliWow's website, they can go over to HeliDirect, and for, I think it's $1.99, they can ship their old one back to them, pay $1.99, they'll get a brand new one, plus they can get a second one for 50% off, and that's like a wicked good deal.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
Kind of a lowball to a heli wow, but still.
I cleaned and refinished my Mosin Model 53 yesterday. It shoots 7.62 bullets at 2,000 feet per second and can take out most helis at 1,000 yards.
Given the proper shooter.
Well, the heli's sitting
that's
on the ground.
Given with me. That's a given with me. I mean, look out, helis. It's drone season, baby.
He can shoot anything. He can shoot anything sitting there on the ground.
Moving along, let's get into our topic of the week.
All right, you're listening to RC Hangar Time. For more information, please check out our website, www.rchangartime.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just search RC Hangar Time.
All right, so this week's topic is going to be what's in your toolbox. We're going to talk about what you should have in your toolbox, what we currently have in our toolbox.
Tools.
And, you know, what kind of tools we should have and what we use most and what we find, you know, what brands we like and et cetera. And, you know, this would be our personal preference and, you know, give you some ideas of what to look for and what to get. So who
Knutter valve wrench.
The what?
Knutter valve wrench. Got to have one of those in every toolbox.
Okay. Well, so what else you got in your toolbox, Dwayne?
Headlight fluid.
Do you even own a toolbox?
Actually, I have a multi-purpose toolbox that serves for my truck parts, for my trucks and for my planes. And it's a total absolute mess.
I was going to ask.
It is a
wreck. Either.
What do you mean? What are you going to ask? I got stuff in there. I got double-sided tape. I got Velcro.
Double-sided tape is something good to have in your toolbox, especially out of the field.
I got zip ties.
Yep, there you go.
I got those. Let's see. I got wrenches, little wrenches. I got hex keys. I got a Dremel tool. Soldering
guns. There's got to be some CA in there and some
accelerator. There's a lot of CA. I guarantee you,
Dwayne, your CA, one of your bottles of CA is glued to the inside of your toolbox.
No, they're all, I keep the tips of my CA clean.
Oh, no way.
Yes, sir. I take the needle and pliers after I'm done using it, and it gets that hard little crust, and it's twisted lightly with the needle and pliers with the rough edges, and it just snaps the CA off, and it doesn't cut or deform the actual hole in the bottle.
I had one, but I had an incident last year. I was in a rush to get out of the field, and I was throwing everything in a box, and I threw a bottle of CA into one of the little drawers, and when I got home, I just put it up. The next day, I got out to my toolbox to get something out of it, and I had two propellers, a battery checker, and a bunch of other little pieces, and the bottle itself glued into that drawer. I mean, solid glued. I mean, the whole bottle like just poured out. It was thin CA.
Now, you didn't ask me how many times I've glued my hands to my desk while working on stuff. Or to my model. You never asked me that. So.
I too, have the same issue with my toolbox. I've got, you know, a bunch of stuff glued to the bottom of it from CA. I made the same mistake.
Not you, John?
No. Now, I got to ask TJ. How were you able to test the quality of the CA right then? I mean, was there any good, you know, diagnostics that came from that?
Yeah, that I bought that brand again because that stuff glued. It was not coming out of the box. The propellers are still in that spot. They have
better than epoxy.
They 10 times better than epoxy. I got the battery checker out, and it was one of those little Tower Hobbies battery checkers. And $15. It was nice, but I had to throw away the little wrist strap that came with it because it was solid.
Nice.
But it still checks batteries, so it didn't get into the contacts on it, but everything was glued into the box. It was great. I thought other people did that too. I didn't realize I was the only one. They would just let CA.
You and Mike.
Yeah, I done did it.
That's right. You done did it too.
I done did it.
I'm OCD about my toolbox.
Mine
looks like an Air Force toolbox for the airplanes where everything has its exact spot. There's an inventory. You know, you could tell if something's missing.
Yep. His wife comes in and checks off at supply at the end of the night when he's done. And if he's missing even one bit, she shuts down the flight line for.
Oh, my goodness. It's terrible. You got to tear the engines apart. That's right.
Yep. I should be like that because I was a mechanic in the Air Force. But once I got out of that whole part where making sure everything is right where it has to be. I use it. I just throw it anywhere in there. And then like once a month when I go to the racetrack, actually what I do when I go to the racetrack, I take all my tools and I set them out on the big table at the racetrack between races. And I put them back in their little spots, in their little containers. And then I'll use them again the next day or something at home. And they're thrown all over the place. So, yeah.
So let's talk tools. What kind of tools you guys carrying?
Brand-wise or do you mean types of tools?
Yeah, types and brands.
Well...
Hands
really
down, my most used tools are my Allen wrench drivers.
Yeah. Those are nice to have.
Yeah.
Dwayne, I was going to ask you if you found these useful for you as well, too, since you do surface. I've got some surface. But do you have one of those little surface tool kits? It comes in those nice little bags that's got all those really long, thin screwdrivers and Allen wrenches or hex wrenches?
You know what? I try to... Not. I used to have a ton of good tools and hobby grade tools, and I lost them in a move somewhere. I don't know what the hell happened to them. So basically, now I just have the cheap stuff that I could find that's on sale or on clearance at True Value, or even if Walmart has something. So no, I don't. I'm in the process of upgrading all my tools since I'm getting more into racing. Because before, when I'd fly. All I'd really need is a screwdriver or a hex driver here or there, and that would be it, because all my planes are always foam or whatever. But getting more into the surface side, I am needing to find. I'm finding more of a need for those specialized hex drivers and nut drivers and all that stuff. I'm just trying to find an affordable one. I know ECX, they make a budget brand of race truck through Horizon Hobby. They have an all-in-one surface toolkit that has the long-handled hex drivers, everything, and it's only $21.
Yeah, that's what I got from Horizon was Dynamite.
Brand. It's not going to be the best, but I'm figuring for $21 for going racing twice a month, I'm not going to be cranking on it like on a real NASCAR. They should be okay, so I'm going to be getting that next month, I think.
Yeah. I tell you what, I bought a pair of the Eternergy ones way back when, and the drivers themselves, the Allen wrench drivers themselves, the steel was, it wore out quick. It was like something you get at Walmart. But local hobby store, he had replacement tips, and they were made by JR, like the servo company. Those things are amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, I've heard yeah. those are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have in my box, I have the JR hex drivers, all of them from, you know, the 1.5s to the 4mm, mm-hmm. all in the hex drivers with replaceable tips. And most of the time I keep everything in my, you know, large toolbox at home. You know, I've got a big stackable Craftsman toolbox that I'll do everything at home. And I just carry a small one, you know, to the field with me that has, and I picked up one from Heli Direct. It's one of those hex drivers, but it has all the tips inside the handle. So you can just pull them out and, you know, put the one you need. So you only have one tool with you, but you actually have, you know, a hex driver that will do four different Allen sizes.
Well, how That's long are I'm your tips, though? Are they very long or are they short?
I'm trying to find a long tip version of that. That's
they're about question. 3-inch tips.
Yeah, so you could run into some issues there, like Dwayne was mentioning.
I haven't ran it. Well, with Helis, you know, I haven't ran into any issues. With the bigger stuff, you know, everything's fairly accessible and easy to get to. My hex drivers at home, the JRs are the same size. Yeah. So that's not an issue. So I take it that, you know, the airplane guys, they don't have, you know, the same kind of stuff that, as far as tool-wise, that we're going to need for helis. You know, with helicopters, you're going to need a pitch gauge to set your pitch, whether it be a, you know, a digital pitch gauge or an analog pitch gauge. And then some guys like to use the swash levelers as well. I have a swash leveler. It's when you take off the head of the helicopter, so you'll take off the blade grips, and when you're setting up the servos to get your servos at 90 degrees and your swash plate level, you drop this leveler on top of the main shaft, and then you do all your adjustments to your ball links to get the swash plate perfectly level. So basically, it's just a stopper that goes on top of the swash plate that makes it a lot easier to tell if you're level or not. I find it more time consuming than it's worth for me. I've been able to just eyeball it and then, you know, take it up into a flight and see how good it is, because a lot of times, even with the, you know, the swash leveler, it's still, you know, you've got a little bit of drift, you'll take it off, you know, land it, make a little bit of adjustments and do it that way. I prefer, you know, fine tuning after a couple of flights to see which way I need to adjust the swash plate.
Now, can you use one of those little bubble levels?
Yeah, some people have. You can put that, depending on the blade grip that you have. If it's got a nice machine flat surface on the top of the blade grip, yeah, uh-huh. you can use a bubble level, but that's only going to get you your zero. You're not going to be able to tell your maximum and your minimum pitch.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to
do one of those high-dollar ones.
Well, still not going to tell you your pitch angle.
No. Yeah, you're still going to, unless you want to do the math. I mean, you could always do the math.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, just buy a pitch gauge. They're cheap.
They're $15.
Okay, so which pitch gauge do you use, John?
I use the totally analog one that you can get from like Starrett if you want to go big money, or you can get it from Harbor Freight Tools. And oddly enough, they are both work quite well, but it's got a magnetic base on it, and both are 90. I made sure it was calibrated on, you know, something I knew was true. But I throw that right on the blade grips, and, you know, as I rotate them, I can see right there exactly where it's at. I'm too poor to go out or too tight, I should say. I'm not poor, but too tight to go out and spend the money on the fancy digital ones.
Well, I too, carry a analog. I have the Align analog, you know, just regular pitch gauge. I find that the problem with the digital ones is they're mm-hmm. nice. But if you have OCD, you're going to spend all day trying to get it perfect, because no matter what you do, it's never going to be perfect. So, you know, you're going to be full collective, and you might have 13 degrees pitch. Then when you go all the way down to negative collective and do your negative, you know, but get it to 13, you go back up and check it, and you're going to be like maybe 12 and a half or 13 and a half, and you're going to be sitting there tinkering with it all day long. You know what I mean?
Machine shop called Walking the Rabbit.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, two of the most used tools I've used out of my toolbox, especially in building, whether it be airplanes, cars, helis, whatever. One is my dowel calipers, 6-inch at minimum size, but use those things all the time. And do you use those a lot, you guys?
Yes. I've got calipers as well.
Digital or analog, being both. You're a machinist. Okay.
Yep. Yep, I am a machinist, so I have both, and I also have access to some very nice stuff if I, you know, gauge blocks and that kind of stuff that I've used to center my flybarless unit to get it perfect, you know?
Yeah, Dwayne, do you use any of that?
I just have a caliper, cheap caliper that I got at Value Hardware on clearance. I just use it mainly just for checking turnbuckle lengths for my planes, my EPP planes. I have no use for it at this point. I mean, if I got in a more precise and more specific models, I would probably get – when I saw a nice one, I was looking at digital for about $30, but that's still a little above my pay grade at this point.
Harbor Freight, $10 on sale.
Yep. I'm gonna have to check them out. I've always wanted to check them out, and then I always forget, so I'm doing that right now going to their webpage. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that having a calipers in your toolbox, whether you fly airplanes or helis, is so much easier to use than just guessing whether or not when you're doing your linkages and all that, you can get it close to where it needs to be, especially on helicopters where we're building our ball links for our swash plate and our head. You know, you want to make sure that those are going to be all the same number. So it makes things so much easier getting that stuff down correctly the first time, not having to, you know, pop them off and then back on and, you know, trying to tinker with them.
I tell you what, though, the best advice I could ever give on one of those things, and I'm sure anybody using them would agree, re-zero them things every time you pick them up, even if you just sat them down and pick them up.
Yep.
Yep.
So my metal ruler that does millimeters won't work?
Yeah, that works. Okay, I guess, if your eyesight's good.
Well, those old-schooler guys, those guys could probably get it within a thousand just looking at those old rules.
Right. You know, they were creepy. I needed one. I have this little motor that came off of a plane, and it has, like, where the back of the motor actually fits into a round hole, and you mount – that's the motor mount, where you have – it's not like the four screw sets, but it actually just sits in with two, like, set screws kind of. Mm-hmm. And I thought I measured that thing three times with the ruler, and I still have pretty good nearsightedness. And I've measured it wrong each time. I never thought to pull out my caliper, and I keep ordering the wrong size. I'm off like 2 millimeters each time. So, yeah, I need to double check that. I just ordered the last size they have available. So I'm thinking they're measuring the actual thickness of the widest point, not the thickness of the smallest point, and I think that was my actual problem, but I did need to use my caliper the other day, and I didn't, like an idiot.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any of you guys buy the, there are several different brands, one brand's called Mr. Jig, it's a little soldering jig made out of a block of billet aluminum.
Yeah, I've seen those. I don't have one, I just have, no.
Is that the little alligator clips?
Yeah, it's the little billet aluminum, well, it's a little block. And it's got alligator clips that go on one end or on the top, and it's got different holes for different widths of bullet connectors and such, and a clamp on the other side that will hold just about any other kind of connector and whatnot. So it's a nice little bitty soldering station. I love it. I use it for everything. I've had it for a couple of years.
That's just the Mr. Jig.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm sure it's probably a lot like the Mr. Jig.
What I like most about it, though, is like, you know, those XT60 connectors or EC connectors or, you know, any of those. If you're on them too long and too much heat and you're not paying attention, you'll melt a connector right out of the plastic.
Oh, well, this thing,
the aluminum wicks that heat out of there. You get a little bit more time. You can be a little more bulletproof. I do a lot of building, though, and so my toolbox is literally full of anything. And I'm that guy that, oh, that's a neat tool. I might use that once in the future. I buy it. But of the tools I use most, definitely my Dremel. Got to have a Dremel.
For sure. I use my Dremel a lot as well.
I want to try one of these new cordless ones. I had a cordless one years ago. Had that little NiCad 2. I think it was 7-volt pack. It was worthless.
Yeah, they don't have the. They definitely don't have the power that the corded ones do.
Okay, I didn't know if these new ones, like if they went up to lithium technology or not, and they're twist your arm off if you're not careful or something. I talked about the Dremel, though. Yeah. I found Dremel makes a really nice cutoff wheel. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I mean, I used to start with these little tiny, I don't know if they were carburetium or what they were, but they're like paper-thin cutoff wheels. They're wonderful, but if you flex the least little bit, I mean, they explode into a billion pieces.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, they've got those fiber-reinforced discs, which, you know, you can get for your bigger cutoff wheels.
With
for,
the like, special your chuck.
With that special the chuck, that quick-release chuck.
Yep, yep.
Yes, that thing is that's invaluable, and it's all but flush mount. So you can really get down low profile and get that wheel really close if you're steady enough. You know, some guys probably not, but...
Yeah.
But no, I love that thing.
Cool. Yeah, I like my Dremel.
Yeah,
I got a cheap off-brand from AutoZone, but it's been working pretty good for everything for the past 2 years. I have no problem with it.
Is it variable speed or two-speed?
It's 5-speed.
Oh, okay, so you've got actually a range. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great neck rotary tool I got from AutoZone. The only problem I had with were the bits that came with it. They were cheap, so I buy genuine Dremel bits. Do not skimp on the bits, because... That's the only thing.
Buy
as far
carbide
as...
cutters if you can.
What's that?
Buy carbide grinding tips if you can afford.
Yeah.
Tungsten carbide, that stuff is amazing.
Yes,
it is.
Do any of you guys have watt meters in your boxes?
Have what?
Little watt meters that you use to measure, you know, your voltage and watts being drawn or your amps being drawn?
Oh, heck yeah. I always carry my watt meter with me. It's like probably one of my most invaluable tools.
Yep, yep. I started getting into EDFs, and that's a must-have. Or Helly's
Yeah, for sure.
Shane Kirkland sent me a little battery gauge, just not a LiPo battery gauge. I had the, what brand does Sears make? Craftsman. I had a Craftsman multi-tool, and I really had no use for all that. So Shane Kirkland, just out of kindness of his heart one time, sent me a little plug-in that goes into the balancing port. And I've been using that a lot more lately. I always use that at least every time I charge and discharge or whatever.
Does it just tell you your voltage or what brand is it?
Oh, it's just a little no name, but it comes up. It'll say it's
the LED one.
Yeah, it'll say, you know, cell one, what the voltage is, cell two, cell three, cell four. It goes up to 6 cells. And
yeah, I have the EOS Sentry.
That has the whole display.
Yeah, it's got the display. It's got, you know, I can select what cell, check each cell individually just by pushing a button. I can check the minimum, maximum. I can check the percentage or the voltage. And that's definitely a must-have. I check every single battery before I put it in, and I check every single battery when I take it out. Because I've seen too many people put in a battery that they thought was charged, and it wasn't charged, and they crashed or hit LVC. And, you know, especially in helis, you lose all that head speed. You know, you're doing a forced auto or you're crashing.
I've been a lot more conscious of that lately, and a lot of it's because you yelling at me too about the battery. So, I always check my batteries a lot more than what I used to.
Yeah.
Now that meter that you mentioned there, Mike, that one also has the internal resistance measure, doesn't it?
I don't believe it does. It doesn't do. I don't think it does IRs. I check the IRs on my charger.
That's a must-have feature right there. I tell you what, if you want to know how your packs are doing.
Yep.
Every now and again to check that, but now here's the $1 million tool question. What do you guys use for soldering? I have a, you know, base station, but I also bought one of those Weller portable, what do they call them, Portasol butane ones from Sears. Do you guys, any guys use one of those?
Not butane. I have a 45.
You don't know me that well, do you, John?
I do not, Dwayne.
Dwayne, do not ask me about solder.
Why?
I can't do it. I just cannot do it. I try and I try and I try. I end up burning me. I end up burning the surface. I end up burning whatever I'm working on. And I cannot get a good solder joint. So
Dwayne, I taught my sister how to solder. I could teach you how to solder.
I doubt it.
Touche.
Anybody have any experience with the Extreme Power Analyzer watt meter?
I do. No.
soon. I love it. It's a little bitty watt meter. It was only like $25 when I got it a couple years ago. But it's a nice little one. It does three functions. Gives you the current voltage, does cell count, even does cell balancing. I love it. Watt meter is great for if you do a new electric power setup or new motor, change prop, anything like that. Man, this thing really gives you a nice.
Yeah. I bought the color display one that Hobby King sells, and I think it's labeled Turnigy. I don't know who makes it, of course. But one thing I like about it, especially when I'm doing the big EDFs and turbine jets, is I can also plug a servo into it, and it'll measure servo current draw. So that's a really nice feature.
Yeah.
Make sure your BEC is big enough, because there is nothing worse than having a brownout because you didn't plan ahead.
I have some other – go back to toolboxes since you all asked. Yeah. I have some rather high-tech, indispensable must-haves for my toolbox.
Toothpicks?
I've got four different types of tape, three different sizes of Velcro, and a pair of wire cutters.
Beginner. I got seven types of Velcro, four different types of double-sided tape, not counting the three different types of electrical, two duct tapes, and PVC vinyl tape. Tape is probably the most used tool out of my toolbox on everything.
Nice.
For more
PJ, what is your most favorite double stick tape used for things like servo mounting on small foamies or anything like that?
I got it right here. It's the one I use most often. It's made by Doug. It's a duct tape brand.
Switch to the 3M Gray.
3M Gray Outdoor 3M Gray. Extreme.
Have you used a 3M Clear?
Outdoor Extreme. Extreme is even better.
The Gray is. I've used the Clear. I'm thinking. Using it for mounting flybarless units, so the Gray is by far the best and the most popular choice
for vibration issues.
Yeah.
But Mike, they got Outdoor Extreme, which is even a darker color gray.
Yeah.
And it holds even better. I've used the Gray and still it sometimes might come loose on a 1 out of 100 times.
Yeah.
This stuff it locks down like CA, like TJ's Toolbox CA incident. Nice. New Outdoor Extreme is even better. It's really nice.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. Cool. What about zip ties? Who carries zip ties?
I've got three sizes.
Last week, I shared my story. I bought those 200 packs of multicolors for $1.99 at Radio Shack. I bought five packs.
Yep.
So I got enough zip ties to last me for the next century or week, depending on how much I fly.
For sure.
I got burned on zip ties once, and I'll never buy cheap zip ties again. And I'm not saying that's, what everybody needs to do, and shame on anybody that uses less expensive zip ties. But I tell you, I had the whole, whatever you call it, little snell in there that snags the, ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
But that series of those broke, and it was a multi-rotor craft I had built, and the thing came down because of that. So
yeah,
anymore I buy the ones that from Bowman that have the metal little tangs in them.
I've experienced that too, but I've noticed it when I'm putting them on. I'll be like trying to tighten and it doesn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like toss that one. And I wanted to mention too, another must have for heli guys is going to be your ball link pliers.
Curved and straight.
Well, they're ball link pliers so that you can get the ball ends off of the swash balls.
Without stressing them.
Yeah, because if you try to do it with just like a pair of pliers or a screwdriver, you're going to break it. You're going to break the ball link or bend the rod.
Now, what about with my little MCPX?
No, you don't.
Fingernails.
They actually do, though. Micro Heli makes a small. Ball link remover tool.
Cool.
So. Micro Heli makes everything for that.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And to all those out there who don't know it, ball links have a bias. There's a side the balls enter on and not enter on.
Yep. Yep, so that you use it one way to press on the ball or press on the ball link onto the ball, and then you flip it around and you use it to also pop it off. And the ones that I have, I like them really nice too because it's got a slot in the middle of it, so I can use them as a pair of pliers. I can put my rod on it for when I'm building my linkages and hold it, and then twist on my ball links onto the threaded, the threaded linkage.
Is that area knurled?
What's that?
Is that little slot there, is that knurled?
The grip? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it holds it down fairly good. I use it all the time for building all my linkages on my helis. Sweet. And it's so much easier to hold it that way than, you know, using a pair of pliers or your hands or whatever you use.
I just use my teeth.
Yeah.
Nice. Any of you guys keep some of that liquid electric tape in your toolbox?
No.
You ever seen that? That stuff sounds crazy, but I found one place where I think it's all but necessary is, you know how you solder your ends onto your LiPo packs, and when you're plugging and unplugging them, the heat shrink keeps working back?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys had a problem, but I always do, and I don't care what brand of heat shrink I use. Yep. That's a short waiting to happen. Well, I bought some of that liquid electric tape. It's black, and it looks gooey, but you put that on, that stuff is as good as a glue when it's on there. Fully flexible, and it's 100% insulated. Yeah, highly recommend that, too.
And not to interrupt real quick, but I don't know if you heard me. But going through my toolbox here, I have another glue incident.
Just now?
I've just noticed it now, yeah. I've got a bamboo stick, two screws, a little servo grommet thing, and then some plastic pieces.
you do know that the cap that comes with most glue containers isn't one-time use. You can reuse the cap.
TJ, spray some accelerator on. That'll help get it up.
Yeah. Accelerator on it? Yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
Baking soda.
I've made the mistake, too, of holding two pieces of something together with CA and then shooting it with some accelerator as well.
While your fingers are still there.
Damn, that shit gets hot.
And fast.
Wow. And is anybody ever else using CA and kicker? On balsa, see it smoke.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, like I told you, it melted my Depron Tech One plane. It's supposed to be, foam safe, and it got so hot, it actually melted. It didn't burn through like how regular CA will eat the foam. It burned it. It burned the paper covering that was on the plane and burned the foam itself. There's little black marks, like burn marks.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Cool. Now, what drill bits do you guys use? Like, do you use just high speed steel, or tungsten, or is it? Yeah, tungsten, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have cobalt steel ones for me.
I don't use many drill bits.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, me neither.
Just whatever my Dremel, if I have to do something.
Not when I'm working on helis.
I do when I'm doing all the custom stuff to the helis. Guys want them lightened up and everything, and they want to move batteries in and all that.
Now, real quick, Mike, since you talk about all these heli specifics, now with the MCPX, is there any tools I need for this little thing?
Just carry around the, it comes with the screwdriver and and that, you won't need the ball link pliers. The biggest thing is you're just going to want extra, ball ends and
feathering
blades.
What's a feathering shaft?
That's the one that holds the blade grips on at the main.
Yeah, it's basically the main shaft it's like the main shaft, but it holds the blade grips together. So it goes in between the blade grips.
And that will get bent every time you put it in the ground. Not every time, but after a couple times going in the ground. And then you'll notice it doesn't, it's like choppy when it responds on climbing or going down to collect it, as they call it.
So is that little horizontal piece that goes between the two?
You can't see it when it's assembled. It's a little tiny toothpick-sized shaft. You actually have to take the main blades off, and there's two little tiny screws in there on either end. And you'll take one end apart, and as you slide the two blade grips out, you'll see this little tiny metal rod between the two of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And cool. Every heli has one.
See, I'm learning all kinds of things.
You're going to be one of us soon enough.
Exactly.
Sorry, Dwayne.
It's all right.
Cool.
So I still fly my planks.
Anybody got anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Yep, that's about all I got.
All I got.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.